This is number 10 ranked UFC middleweight Jared the Killer Gorilla Cannonier, and you are listening to the Alaska Airlines Center Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Alaska Airlines Center Podcast with John and Kate. As you just heard, we have a special show for us today. Joining us on the podcast today will be UFC top 10 middleweight contender Jared the Killer Gorilla Cannonier.
Super awesome. And as a special little segment before we get into Jared's interview, quick segment. All right, John, who's your favorite superhero?
Ooh, superhero. You know, actually going back, I was more of a He-Man, but a close second would probably be the Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles? Okay, so I actually do not have a favorite superhero, and I was more of a villain fan. And I actually like the Joker, and I can't wait to see the new movie. It's the one with Joaquin Phoenix, so if you have a chance to check out that trailer, you should. Another staff recommendation. But speaking of superheroes, our next guest has a few of his own. So it's contest time, a.k.a. Stunner fans. If you want to win 2 free tickets to an AFC fight of your choice, be the first person to send us a Facebook direct message of our guest's favorite superheroes ranked in order. You can find us at facebook.com at Alaska Airlines Center. So get to listening. This is going to be an excellent episode. And make sure to send us those DMs.
Thanks, Kate, for your insight on superheroes. And speaking of superheroes, we have a special guest on the podcast today, as you heard earlier. Joining us now is UFC top 10 middleweight contender, Jared the Killer Gorilla Cannonier, coming off a big win over Anderson Silva at UFC 237. Jared Cannonier, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How's it going, guys?
Going great.
Hey, first off, congrats coming off a huge win with UFC 237 down in Rio de Janeiro, going up against one of the greatest of all time, Anderson Silva. First of all, yeah, absolutely huge. Congrats on that one. What a big win.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. That was a real fun experience.
Yeah, take us through that. I mean, you know, here you are, and we'll touch a little bit on your coming up to Alaska and your start in the MMA world. But jumping right into it right away, I mean, to get that opportunity to go down to Brazil on his home turf and go up against one of the greatest of all time and getting that moment to go down there and then beating him on his home turf, that had to have been a special, special moment for you.
Yeah. Every win is special for me. So the fact that it was Anderson in Brazil, you know, it was only a coincidental. So, but, you know, it was fun. It was really good. Good thing to experience, the crowd, everybody always talks about how the crowd is very intense, and they definitely proved themselves to be very into it. So it was fun to go down there and I guess be the bad guy without doing any actual work.
Hey, I mean, that was actually one of the main things that I had kept reading about in the news was that, you know, you had some pretty strong response to a pretty strong crowd, and you know, the way that you handled yourself, and a lot of the time, like articles that I've read about you, everyone says that you handle everything with the utmost respect. And I'm sure in this industry, you know, some people might think that it can get a little ugly with all the punching and knocking someone out. But to date, you really feel like this is one of the biggest of your career?
The biggest win?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely the biggest one. Yeah, man. I'm not just man and man. To be honest, my approach to it wasn't as if it was going to be like this huge event. You know, I'm co-main event, I'm fighting the legend Anderson Silva in Rio de Janeiro or anything like that. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just I'm fighting a guy in a place on this day. So, you know, I prepare to fight anybody. To be honest, it was just another night in the office. It was definitely fun and a memorable experience, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to be honest, I just really enjoyed fighting, you know, and fighting him was fun, but just fighting, I really enjoy.
Yeah, so a couple months ago, we had actually interviewed another AFC fighter. His name is Jason Flowers, and he was talking pretty similarly about how he kind of approaches everything the same way. Is there any other kind of recommendations you would give to some of our AFC fighters that are looking to get to the level that you're at?
Well, absolutely. I would say study fights. You know, don't just watch them to be entertained by them. Study them and just try to do everything the right way. You know, we all try to do things our own way. You know, just if you do things the right way, you know, you have to work hard in order to reap the benefits of it. So a lot of people try not to, you know, work as hard as required. You know, you really got to put in the time. You got to really dedicate yourself to it. You know, it'll definitely pay off.
Well, Jared, can you take us a little bit on your involvement with Alaska and the AFC and how you came to Alaska? You're originally from Texas, but how did you get to Alaska and then get into the MMA fighting scene?
Yeah, sure. Well, before I came to Alaska, I was in the Army, you know, and I was stationed in Alabama. And after I got out, I had got a job with the FAA, and they stationed me here in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. So you know, from way down there to all the way up here, that was way back in 2009, summer of 2009 when I moved up here, and it was a big difference, you know, because you know in the summertime you get a lot of daylight. It can be 12 at night, but the sun is still up.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it is, but it was definitely something to get used to, especially, you know, considering I had to be at work at like 6 in the morning the next day.
It's confusing. You're like, I don't know what planet I'm even on. Why is it still light out? It's 11:30 at night.
Yeah. Yeah, after getting up here, you know, and getting settled in with the new job and everything, I found a jiu-jitsu gym, Ghost of Baja, Alaska, is what it was at the time. So, you know, I started training, and because I wanted to grapple, you know, I had first started grappling the arm, and I really wanted to do it after, mm-hmm. for the rest of my life, actually.
Just like that.
Yeah, I found a gym and started training, and they had an MMA team, and that's when I learned that they had the AFC up here. So, you know, I made plans to just start fighting. You know, at first, it was just to make a couple extra bucks, make some extra money while I was working my job and stuff like that, and raising my family. After that, I kept doing well, kept doing good, I kept getting better and better. You know, I kept growing in the sport. You know, in the martial art. You know, it just took off from there. Mm-hmm. Fight after fight, you know, the fights get bigger, the names get bigger, and eventually you got a call from the UFC. You know,
and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
So when you were fighting out here in Alaska, you were originally fighting as a heavyweight, and now you're down to the middleweight level at UFC, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So how has that transition been? Is it more difficult when you were fighting as a heavyweight in Alaska, or is it a little bit easier for you now that you're in UFC and you're at this new level and you're at a different weight caliber?
Yeah, well, to be honest, when I was fighting in heavyweight, you know, I was just fighting heavyweight because I was just fat, you know. I was undisciplined as far as my diet goes, and I like to eat. So,
you and me,
you know,
both.
That's the consequence of it. I was still, you know, I'm still a pretty good athlete, so I was able to make it happen. As my UFC career progressed, I realized that, you know, I can't be fighting these guys. Those guys are huge. You know, they're like 6'6", 6'5", you know, 250, 260 pounds. And I was, you know, 5'10", 250 fat pounds. So, you know, I knew. And even in fighting in the AFC, I knew I wasn't an actual heavyweight. While still in Alaska, I, you know, made some changes, learned a little bit about my diet, and started eating a lot more fruit and vegetables and a lot less meat.
The key to life, yeah. More fruits and vegetables. Yeah.
Well, and ESPN did that great video leading into your fight with Anderson Silva, and it talked about your transition from the heavyweight down and the training that went into it, and very remarkable progress that you made, and you got with the right coaches and stuck to the plan. And I believe it was one of your coaches that they interviewed that talked about fitting into your frame more on that middleweight level, and that it's really going to be where you excel.
Absolutely. Yeah, those guys are more my size. So they won't have all the height and length advantages that most all my other previous opponents have had. So it'll level the playing field a lot for me. On top of that, you know, I did move from Alaska to Phoenix, Arizona, to MMA Lab, and that's another thing I would like to say to the AFC fighters. is that Inuit is a big world, and Alaska is very isolated. So I know, and I know a lot of people like talk about loyalty and all that stuff like that. And, as far as the MMA community, you know what I'm saying, get your training that you need to be the best fighter that you can be. You know, put your egos aside in that regard. We're making that decision. Because a lot of us think we're this good or we're that good when we're really not. So all we got to do is want to catch the right person to let that be known. But, yeah, that's a big one. You know, don't isolate yourselves. You know what I'm saying? Because Alaska's already isolated. Anchorage is, you know.
Yeah, and Jared, that's a perfect point, too. You know, you're a great example of the people that can come out of the AFC and the fight up here, and that now that the AFC is on the UFC Fight Pass, too, they are getting global recognition. But you're a perfect example of somebody who can go to the next level and make it. And it doesn't matter if you're in a what you would think is a smaller promotion here in Alaska or if you're in Montana or wherever you are, that it's all about hard work and grind. And if you're good, you're good. You're going to get noticed.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, again, the fighter has to put in the work to be that. You got to get out there. You have to be a student of the game. You got to study. I try to watch all the fights, you know what I'm saying? Big, the big, small, the men, the women, anything combat related, boxing, kickboxing, karate, taekwondo, all that, wrestling, you know, all that stuff. I don't really have much time to watch, you know, NBA finals or the Super Bowl or anything else like that. So.
Oh, man, yeah. Your girl makes it's time all, for that.
It's all combat. If it ain't combat related, it's wasting my time. Again, because I have such, because I am such a student of it, I can see something and see how and make that apply to what I do specifically with my body. Like, I can watch boxing and I can apply that to mixed martial arts. I can watch kickboxing. I can watch all these guys. And I'm able to do that. You know, and that's the type, I mean, with that type of eye, I think a lot of guys would be... can be a lot better. You know, they won't be as isolated in their growth.
Who are some of the biggest influencers that have inspired you, that you've learned from either watching film or watching fights? Is there anyone in particular where you're like, man, that's something I want to be able to apply?
Nobody in particular, to be honest.
Self-made.
Yeah, if there's anything that influenced me more, most, as far as my fighting style and what I want out of my fighting style, I would have to say that it would be video games and the cartoons of my time, like Ninja Turtles, Dragon Ball Z, stuff like that.
What's your favorite Ninja Turtle? Go.
Raphael.
There you go.
Good one.
Yeah.
No hesitation either.
Without all the pizza, that's all. Well,
Raphael and then Donatello.
There you go.
And then Michelangelo and then Leonardo.
Just ranking them all.
Yeah. As far as my family, I love them all. You know, all of them.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, Jared, when you made that transition from the AFC to the UFC, was it something that UFC approached you about, or did you proactively get out there and put your name out there? How did that go about?
Well, as a lot of my things, you know, I'm not very proactive in pushing my brain, you know, running my mouth or doing anything like that. You know, which can be detrimental to my business, to the business aspect of this thing, but that's just not who I am. How it all went down was I got in contact with the management company, because I was at a point I was like 7-0 in the AFC, 7-0 heavyweight, and those are like little diamonds to the UFC, I guess, if you want to call them that.
But,
yep, and management. Management companies were starting to look at me, and the one that I signed with, personal management, you know, they made the deal. You know, I guess they reached out to the UFC and made the deal, and they got me a contract. Now awesome. I'm on my third, so
that's
it's
awesome.
Been going pretty good so far.
Congratulations on that, for real. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We just saw today on MMA Mania that they just posted an article saying that you're ready to get back into the cage and fight again. Has there been any discussion on when that next fight will be or who it might be up against?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about it, you know, and that's one of the things I was on the Eric Wong show talking about today.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about the fact that I had, you know, 4 fight offers to headline a card in San Antonio on July 20th. You know, that's the main event, which is, you know, a good place to be. But, you know, four people got the offer. Four people said no. So we're trying to get a fight going and, you know, hopefully
like
putting the word out.
After that Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope not.
Is there anybody?
I'm trying to get some fight.
Is there anybody that you want to go up against and match up against or challenge, and anybody you have your sights on?
Well, nobody in particular that I want to personally change, but on the show today, I essentially laid out a challenge to another fighter, Kelvin Gastelum, because I heard through the grapevine that he was looking for a fight in Mexico City in September. I put, you know, while I was doing the interview, I put that little plug in there.
Just
let them know that, hey, I'm going to fight you in September in Mexico City. And besides, you know, it's a better fight for me anyway. He's a higher weight. He's a higher, you know, he's ranked, you know, better ranked than me. I think he's ranked number 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So that'll put me closer to where I want to be, you know, have a title.
So at the end of the day, if you want to go up with him and he agrees to that challenge, is it still Dana White that finalizes that and makes that happen? Or, I mean, does he have input on it and says, hey, hold on here. No, I want you to go up against so-and-so. Or can you guys bring that to the table and say, hey, we want to go?
Well, sometimes you see that happen. You see fighters, like, get on social media and say, yeah, I'll fight you, and then end up, you know, bringing it to the matchmaker and make the fight. So I think that's how the situation would go if that was the case here. If then, you know, and you're right, those higher stakes fights, I think Dana does have a hand in the decision-making as to who fights who there. But I saw in the interview, Dana was liking me fighting Chris Weidman, who is going up to 205. So that fight wouldn't make sense as far as 185 goes.
Yeah, maybe you get to sneak in a piece of pizza like Raphael.
So you're back in Alaska now, is that correct?
Yep, we're here visiting, trying to finalize some other business stuff.
Well, perfect. Welcome back to Alaska. Are you going to, anything on your list to do while you're back in town? Anything that you missed
while
you're here?
Fighting in the AFC cage again?
Well, my UFC contract would not allow me to do that. But I will be there. I will be there. We're going to be doing a meet and greet Wednesday. I have shirts for sale, Killer Gorilla shirts. I have a couple of Joe Murphy shirts, if anybody's interested in knowing. Anybody who knows who Joe, any AFC alum, or any, you know, people who know who that is.
Some diehards.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, but I'll be there, cage side, taking this apart. I think this is going to be Nick and Misty's first event they're putting on.
It is, yeah. They switched over the ownership, and Sarah's still going to be involved, but yeah, it's shifted the ownership over to Nick and Misty, and it's going to be good. I mean, take us on that a little bit too, with Nick stepping in as an owner now, coming from a fighting background and being a former fighter. And do you think that has a different approach, the way that he would view it and setting up these fights and having that background?
Absolutely. I think, Nick being a fighter, you know, who an avid fan that he is, I think that definitely will play a role in the matchmaking, for sure. So not to say that Sarah didn't have that quality when she was running the show, but I think that's definitely a feather in Nick's cap. You know, being a fighter and on top of being an avid fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Nick on the podcast before too, and talked some of that. And, you know, going into his fighting IQ and everything, I mean, he seems like he, like you talked about, does a lot of studying, knows his opponents, knows about, and the intelligence and the IQ that he has going into MMA was impressive, when he just, the way he talks about it and goes about his approach.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's pretty similar for like a lot of them too. Like Jason was like that. Jared's like that. I don't know. I mean, again, you know, I said this on one of our other episodes, and I just feel like it kind of takes a really unique person to be like, yeah, the sport I want to do is to get punched in the kidneys and potentially get knocked out. Like, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I mean, really, you know, the dedication and the work, like physical work that you guys put your bodies through to prepare for, you know, a potentially 45-second fight or a 5-minute fight, you know, these things are, it's pretty intense. And, you know, I definitely commend you guys, and I respect you guys for what you do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing about this sport. It's easy for people not to take it seriously. You know, the guys who make it to that level are the guys who do take it seriously. You know, they take their training seriously. They take their recovery seriously. They take every aspect of it seriously, you know, to the point to where they sacrifice a lot, you know, to make this thing work for them. So, and the same goes for me, man. I sacrifice a lot, you know, a lot of time. You know, I spend a lot of time with my family, you know, because that's the reason why I quit my full-time job, so that I continue to spend time with my family, as well as dedicate so much of myself to training, to learning, to being a professional fighter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's to the point where it is an aspect of my being. You know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, you know, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm all that, and I'm a fighter as well, you know, and it defines, and it is more, and I think it's more than some of that stuff, because it's how I define myself, it's not how anybody else can define it, so it's very, what's the word?
Time consuming.
It's very important to me.
Yeah. It seems that way.
Yeah. So, you know, again, for you up and coming fighters, man, you have to take it seriously. You know, you can't pussyfoot with it. You can't dabble with it. You can't be playing around, and then you can't be you know, smoking cigarettes and eating nachos now when you get a fight in 3 weeks and stay in the gym training.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be training all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, take it. Like you said, you know, this is a sport where guys. A guy can kick my head off, you know, to kick me in the head, make me unconscious. That's unconsciousness, you know what I'm saying? That's I'll break a bone, or, you know what I'm saying, standing in unconscious or something like that. You know, that's you know, those are very serious implications to what we do.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to run so on you the treadmill just... and not get hit in the kidneys. I'll see you guys on the track.
Yeah. And like you say again, I think the first person will want to do that. And for me, it's not worth it. Okay, I ain't trying to get hit. I ain't trying to get hit. You know what I'm saying? You can try, but you know what I'm saying? I also try to make you miss too. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to slip and to rip. You know, I'm going to make you miss, and I'm gonna hit you. I want to have longevity in the sport. You know, so I ain't trying to take no damage. You know, in every one of my fights, I'm shooting for a flawless victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Fighting words.
Yeah, and we certainly wish you the best on future success and everything. We were extremely proud of you on your last huge fight against Anderson Silva. We'll continue to cheer for you and support you, and you have a huge fan base in Alaska. You know, a lot of people up here just went absolutely crazy and packed some of the local bars and restaurants to watch that fight. You know, kind of gave us a goosebumps a little bit to see you down there on TV and doing so well. And we certainly wish you all the best in future fights. And we're looking forward to having you here this Wednesday for UFC or for AFC 149 Wednesday night. It's going to be a great one. Jared the Killer Gorilla Cannoneer will be here doing a meet and greet beforehand. Come by, get some pictures, buy some of the shirts, talk to him, say hi. We're excited to have him here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Jared, hey, we really appreciate you being on today. We know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day-to-day to talk to us. Any last plugs or fight promoters, anything that you want to talk to or say, give a shout-out to?
No, just, you know, I want to, you know, say thank you to all those. I thought, and when I was a real man, in all of my fights, I definitely felt the love and support coming from Alaska. And I want to say thank you to all the fans and all my friends and family still up there, you know, supporting me and that positive energy, you know, that makes a huge difference because I can apply that energy to my being, into what I do, and it makes me better. It makes me want to be better. It makes me want to be the best person I can be, you know what I'm saying? So I can continue to go out there and represent, you know, and do what I do, you know what I'm saying? So keep that support coming, you know what I'm saying? Like they call it, what they call it, waterboard call it tackle with you. I like that.
Well, we're excited to have you here. Thank you so much, Jerry. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
And Jared, where can people find you on social media, everything like that? Do you want to plug those real quick on where they can follow?
Oh, yeah. I am on Instagram and Twitter at Killer Gorilla MMA. That's K-I-L-L-A, Gorilla MMA. And I'm on Facebook at The Killer Gorilla.
There we go.
Check me out. I'm a lot more active on it now. I didn't used to be too much in the past, but I'm more active during 5 week and stuff like that. Keep a lookout, you know, so I'll be dropping news soon, hopefully.
Well, yeah, perfect. Right. Well, thanks. Once again, we've been joined on the podcast today by the top 10 middleweight contender in the UFC, big UFC star Jared the Killer Gorilla Cannoneer. Thank you so much for being on the Alaska Airlines Center podcast.
Thank you, guys.